This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Terry Malloy here to read The Week, the best of U.S. and international media. This is the April 12th, 2024 edition. All you need to know about everything that matters. On our cover this week, crashing the party. Will RFK Jr.'s long shot candidacy draw enough votes to doom Biden? Main stories, Baltimore's rebuilding challenge, Mayor Brandon Scott. Talking points, why Trump is selling Bibles. And people, how she blocks out the haters, Anne Hathaway. And we begin with our one of our main stories, the cleanup of Baltimore's big bridge disaster. What happened? Engineers and demolition crews began the slow and arduous work of clearing the ruins of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge this week after a shipping accident that killed six construction workers and crippled one of the nation's busiest shipping ports. The bridge crumpled into the Patapsco River after a 980-foot cargo ship, the Dolly, lost power around 1:30 a.m. and barreled into one of its supports. The ship, whose unexplained power loss is under investigation, remains pinned under thousands of tons of mangled steel. Workers opened a small channel to allow limited shipping. In the coming weeks, they hope to open deeper channels and expand access to a port that typically handles up to $200 million worth of goods daily. The cleanup, which involves cutting the wreckage into pieces that can be removed by a massive crane, while searching for the still missing bodies of four of the dead workers, is an incredibly complex job, said Maryland Governor Wes Moore. Our timeline will be long. President Biden approved $60 million in immediate federal aid, vowing to pay the full cost of rebuilding the bridge, which could run as high as $2 billion. But he faces strong opposition from congressional Republican budget hawks. Representative Ralph Norman, a Republican from South Carolina, said the bridge collapse was a regional problem and that paying for a replacement with federal dollars would be totally absurd. Federal and local officials pointed out that Baltimore's port has a major impact on the national economy, with most imported cars, farm equipment passing through, as well as many exports from U.S. farm products. This matters to folks in rural North Carolina and Kansas and Iowa, said Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott. This matters to the global economy. No party conversation should be involved. What the editorial said. This disaster impacts not just Baltimore or Maryland, but all Americans, said the Baltimore Sun. So why must we beg Republicans for federal aid? When a Gulf Coast state gets hit by a hurricane, do we debate whether the federal government should help rebuild washed-out roads? No city or state could handle the enormous costs to come. Sorry, said the National Review, but Maryland needs to pull its weight. There is clearly a federal role during cleanup efforts, but Biden went too far when he pledged to foot the entire bill. Maryland has been running budget surpluses and has $2.5 billion in its rainy day fund, in part because of an influx of unspent federal pandemic aid. They should dig into it, and any federal funds should come from the $1.1 trillion allocated in the 2021 infrastructure bill, most of which has not yet been spent. What the columnists said. As Americans saw videos of the bridge crumpling into the water, they saw a human tragedy, said Charlie Sykes in MSNBC.com. The MAGA world saw an opportunity to stoke suspicion, distrust, and fear. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican from Georgia, suggested it was an intentional attack by terrorists. Representative Nancy Mace, Republican from South Carolina, blamed Biden for spending on green energy instead of roads and bridges, while online right-wing influencers blamed Scott because he's black, calling him a DEI mayor. In MAGA world, any event can be used to promote division and spread baseless smears. The irony is that MAGA country will suffer if the port is not quickly reopened, said Greg Sargent in the New Republic. Billions in coal, agricultural machinery, soybeans, and other products pass through Baltimore's port every year, much of it bound or coming from the agricultural and industrial heartland. The bridge also was part of an interstate highway, I-695. When disasters of this magnitude strike, we really are all in it together. But that reality is exactly what the MAGA worldview seeks to deny at all costs. The tragic death of six workers obliterated all the ridiculous lies and myths our demagogues have been spreading around immigration, said Will Bunch in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Those men from Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Mexico were husbands and fathers doing what so many immigrants do, working back-breaking jobs at a wretched hour to feed their families. They weren't poisoning the blood of our country, as Trump claims. They were replenishing it, and when they plunged into those frigid waters, they died as Americans. Our controversy of the week, RFK Jr. Who will his spoiler campaign hurt most? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. doesn't have a chance of getting elected president, said Paul Du Quinoy in the New York Post. But if Kennedy gets on enough state ballots, neither does Joe Biden. Democrats were already alarmed by polls showing Kennedy's third-party candidacy averaging about 10% support and stealing more votes from Biden than from Donald Trump. But the running mate Kennedy chose last week, Nicole Shanahan, 38, a Silicon Valley lawyer and tech entrepreneur, likely spells doom for the Biden's reelection. Shanahan is rich, really rich. Her divorce from Google co-founder Sergey Brin left her with an undisclosed portion of his $132 billion fortune. She bankrolled that cringe ad for RFK Jr. in the Super Bowl that likened him to his uncle, former President John F. Kennedy, and can now spend whatever it takes to smooth her ticket's path onto the ballot in every state. A lifelong Democrat, Shanahan grew up poor as the child of a Chinese immigrant and has supported radical left policies such as defunding the police. She's sure to leech progressive support from Biden. Some Democrats had entertained the fantasy that Kennedy might woo more voters away from Trump, said Paul Bengala in CNN.com. But by putting Shanahan on the ticket, RFK Jr. has left no doubt his campaign is, quote, a heat-seeking missile aimed at Biden, unquote. Actually, Kennedy is a dagger pointed at the heart of MAGA, said Jonathan V. Last in The Bulwark. With her fixation on vaccine safety and claims that corporations and elites are hiding important secrets about chemicals and processed foods, the young and attractive Shanahan will most appeal to right-wing anti-establishment types and wannabe tech bros who think Joe Rogan is brilliant. These folks were never casting ballots for Biden. If they have no more appealing alternative, they could provide Trump's margin of victory. But now in Kennedy Shanahan, they have one. Both parties are worried about Kennedy, said Alec Shepard in the New Republic, whose impact on a tight race is hard to predict. Democrats have assigned a team of political operatives to take him down by calling attention to his many loony positions, which include his disproven belief that vaccines cause autism and other major health problems. RFK Jr. also says 5G cellular technology is being used for mass surveillance, that antidepressants cause school shootings, and that Wi-Fi causes cancer and leaky brain. His support could easily shrink as people learn about his actual positions. Kennedy is also more intensely pro-Israel than even Biden, said Ed Kilgore in the New York Magazine, and he's blamed Hamas for Palestinian deaths. That makes it unlikely he'll become 2024's Pied Piper of progressive youth. Kennedy's campaign may feel like a joke, said John Hendrickson in The Atlantic, but he doesn't need to win a single state to tip the election. If he siphons a few thousand votes away from Biden in key swing states, as Jill Stein did from Hillary Clinton in 2016, as Ralph Nader did from Al Gore in 2000, Trump will make a triumphant return to the White House. Clearly, many voters are deeply dissatisfied with a choice between Biden and Trump, said Lee Drutman in CNN.com. That makes Kennedy's eccentric anti-system populism a wild card. With Shanahan's money funding him through November, Kennedy will be a chaos factor in an election that already promises to have plenty of chaos. Our best columns of the week in the U.S. this week: Is America a Dystopian Hellhole? By Matt Lewis in the Daily Beast. The lives of Americans have never been worse, said Matt Lewis. That's clearly untrue, but the wildly negative, distorted picture of the country as a crime-ridden shithole with a horrible economy is the fundamental premise of Donald Trump's re-election bid, echoed daily by his Republican acolytes and right-wing media. The reality is that under President Biden, the economy has rebounded sharply from its 2020 COVID recession, with low unemployment, rising wages, a booming stock market, inflation largely tamed, and rising consumer confidence. Violent crime has fallen sharply since Trump's last year in office and is now at one of the lowest rates in a half century. But nobody on Team Trump will admit that any of this is true. In fact, stating that the country is doing relatively well is perceived as an existential threat in the MAGA messaging world. No wonder. Acknowledging that America is already great and getting better would suggest the country does not, in fact, need a fulminating strongman to save us from the ashes of our once proud homeland. The danger, of course, is that if the chaos candidate wins, his dark, divisive, dystopian vision of America will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Ukraine is not losing the war, by Evelyn N. Farkas in The Hill. Opponents of the continuing military aid to Kiev claim that Ukraine is losing the war with Russia anyway, said Evelyn N. Farkas. But the evidence says this Kremlin talking point is false. Yes, Congress's failure to approve the next tranche of ammunition and arms has created real damage, with Ukraine suffering more casualties at the front and more deaths of civilians in the cities, deprived of adequate missile defense. Vladimir Putin, who already sacrificed more than 350,000 of his soldiers, is willing to accept unlimited casualties in pursuit of total victory. But Ukraine is holding its critical positions along the Dnieper River and has used sea drones and long-range missiles to destroy numerous ships of the Russian Black Sea Fleet and forced it to retreat to Russian waters. Ukraine is also using drones to attack oil refineries on Russian soil, disrupting its energy industry. As Russian losses mount, Putin needs to show progress and will likely mount a new offensive in the spring. But if the U.S. provides the determined Ukrainians with the military aid requested by the Biden administration, Russia's military overreach could result in even greater losses and humanitarianism for Putin. Time is not on his side, and to cut off aid to Ukraine now would be reckless. GOP voters favor taxes and spending, by Ross Douthat in the New York Times. Today, most Republican voters are not small government conservatives, said Ross Douthat. Recent polls have found that majorities of Republicans believe that the federal government should be doing more, not less, to provide support for the poor, to subsidize Obamacare policies, and to protect Social Security and Medicare. In seven swing states, 58% of Republicans support raising taxes on Americans making $400,000 or more. These populist sentiments aren't especially surprising if the Trump era, in which the GOP has shed affluent suburbanites and become the party of blue-collar, non-college educated Americans. But Republican voters are now at complete odds with House Republicans, who continue to advocate a Paul Ryan-style libertarian agenda. The House Republican Study Committee is calling for extending and improving the Trump tax cuts and cutting spending on Obamacare and old age entitlements. Clearly, the modern GOP is not a coherent right. It's a coalition of factions united only by negative polarization, fierce opposition to progressivism. For now, Trump holds that coalition together. But when he leaves the scene, the party may be torn apart by the tensions between populist voters and libertarian elites. In our talking points this week, Trump hawking Bibles for profit. Donald Trump, gifter extraordinaire, is now a Bible salesman, said Courtney Thomas in Slate. Yes, the Trump-endorsed God Bless the USA Bible can be yours for only $59.99. A bargain, considering the leather-bound, large print volume also contains the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and handwritten lyrics to Lee Greenwood's country anthem, God Bless the USA. In an infomercial release this week, Trump pitches the King James translation as a must-have MAGA accessory. It's my favorite book, says a man behind Trump Steaks, Trump University, and $399 Never Surrender High Tops. We must make America pray again. Trump, who likely never cracked a Bible in his life, must be getting desperate, said Michael Tomosky in the New Republic. His legal bills are starting to bite. Of the nearly $105 million he received in donations last year, more than half went to legal expenses. You suspect he'd hawk anything that isn't nailed to the floor. Plenty of Americans want what Trump is selling, said Michael C. Bender in the New York Times. At campaign rallies, supporters whoop and jeer as he throws out red meat attacks on the media, and Democrats then raise open palms in the air or murmur, as if in prayer, when he delivers a solemn sermon like closing note. To a growing number of his evangelical voters, the three times married playboy is a modern version of Old Testament heroes like Cyrus or David, a morally flawed figure, handpicked by God to lead profound missions. Many accept his narrative that he is facing 4 criminal cases only because he dared resist the persecution of his Christian followers by liberal deep state elites. "They've crucified him worse than Jesus," said Andriana Howard, 67, a Trump supporter in Conway, South Carolina. It's easy to laugh at the absurdity of Trump, of all people, as an emblem of Christianity, said Andrew Sullivan in his Substack newsletter. But what the Orange Herod and his flock practice is not Christianity, but Christianism, an authoritarian reactionary creed that has transformed a secular leader into the last bulwark between believers and total annihilation. With such ludicrous existential stakes, accepting even Trump's most depraved actions, an alleged infidelity with a porn star, selling Bibles for profit, attempting a coup, becomes, quote, a test of faith, unquote, and proof of dedication to the cause. True Christianity requires the renunciation of earthly power. The Trumpian version is obsessed with wielding it ruthlessly. In our Making Money This Week, Social Security. Should the U.S. raise the retirement age? A growing chorus of business leaders and GOP lawmakers is calling for raising the retirement age, said Lori Konish in CNBC.com. For decades, 65 was the anchor to which Americans attached their ideas about the end of working life. But with record numbers of baby boomers hitting that age, those retirement plans no longer look sustainable. More than 11,200 Americans are expected to turn 65 every day, for a total of 4.1 million per year from now through 2027. The age to get the full Social Security benefit is currently set at 67 for anyone born in 1960 or later. Yet longer lifespans will put increasing pressure on the program, which is projected to have to start reducing benefits in 2033. If the current shortfall isn't addressed, a recent GOP budget proposal calls for lifting the age threshold for Social Security, though it did not specify by how much. An influential asset manager, Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, wrote in his annual letter that it's a bit crazy that our idea of the right retirement age originates from the time of the Ottoman Empire. Democrats say the proposal is extreme, but we've done this before, said Rick Newman in Yahoo. Back in 1983, the U.S. passed legislation to raise the retirement age from 65 to 67, a change that was phased in over 30 years. Any change in the eligibility rate, again, will occur gradually, ensuring that nobody loses anything they already have. This is the best available solution to our untenable trajectory of retirement, said Tiana Lowe Dorsher in the Washington Examiner. If today's seniors took the same number of retirement years as the average person retiring in 1940, they would work until age 77. Nobody is proposing that, but a modest increase would help stave off Social Security's insolvency without some other form or tax increases. The average American retires at 62, and usually it's not by choice, said Daniel DeVizi in USA Today. Most of us imagine easing out of our careers on our own terms, but the reality is that retirement often comes suddenly and unexpectedly, via a corporate layoff or a household health scare. For blue-collar Americans, it's often because they physically can't keep doing the work anymore. withholding benefits from the working class seems peculiar and cruel, said Matthew Yglesias in Bloomberg. Talk about the increases in life expectancy since 1940 is legitimate, but progress has been very uneven across U.S. society. Educated Americans are living much longer than we used to, but those without bachelor degrees are not. Raising the eligibility age is essentially a benefit cut that targets people with below average life expectancy. Many such Americans benefit from the opportunity to retire earlier than later. Forcing people to work longer is one of the worst possible options for fixing Social Security. Robinhood's attractive credit card. Brokerage app Robinhood's new credit card is offering 3% cash back on every purchase, said Evan Zimmer in CNET. The perks of Robinhood's gold card are pretty impressive. That 3% cash back rate on everything you buy is practically unheard of. The money gets deposited to your Robinhood brokerage account. There are also numerous shopping and travel protections and no foreign transaction fee. But for those who care about such things, it's a metal gold-plated credit card. What's the catch? Not much. To get it, you have to join Robinhood's Gold Service, which adds features to the free stock trading app via a subscription costing $5 per month or $50 annually. The boardrooms, Disney defeats Peltz challenge. Disney staved off a challenge to its board nominated by activist shareholder Nelson Peltz, says via Herbst Bayless and Greg Romaliotis in Rutgers. Peltz's hedge fund, Trian Fund Management, aimed to grab two board seats, arguing that new blood was needed after Disney had bungled its succession planning and lost its creative spark. After an acrimonious battle, Disney managed to secure enough votes from big institutional shareholders to keep its board intact. The high-profile governance fight nonetheless prompted Disney to unveil a string of changes to win back investors. Investors' confidence. Its shares have gained nearly 50% since October. EVs, Tesla faces unexpected sales decline. Tesla reported a surprising big drop in quarterly sales this week, said Dana Hull in Bloomberg. The electric vehicle maker delivered just 386,810 vehicles in the first 3 months of the year, missing most expectations by the biggest margin ever in data going back 7 years. Deliveries were down 8.5% from a year ago. Tesla blamed the drop on a production upgrade for its Model 3 sedan and shipping delays in the Red Sea. However, the company produced 46,561 more cars than it handed over to its customers in the quarter, a sign that demand may be slowing. Well, that's it for now. This is Terry Malloy wishing you all a great week ahead, and I'll be back next Sunday to read the week.